From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters, life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Dr. Mary Graybar, author of Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. We are committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people directly to your earbuds. We're also very committed to bringing topics that are of transcendent importance to you. And today, we're going to talk about something that can't be surpassed in contemporary importance. We're going to talk about the 1619 Project. And we're going to talk about this project with Dr. Mary Graybar. She's a resident fellow at the Alexander Hamilton Institute for the Study of Western Civilization. She taught at the university level for more than 20 years, most recently at Emory University. And she's written some incredible books. If you listen to our podcast regularly, you've heard her. And she's incredible. She wrote the book Debunking Howard Zinn, Exposing the Fake History That Turned a Generation Against America. And now she's followed that up with a book, Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing, and this subtitle, I mean, is so important, every word, Exposing the Plan to Divide America. And I want to read something from the inside flap. If the United States is to be reimagined as an inherently racist regime, then Thomas Jefferson, the founding, the Declaration of Independence must be obliterated. In fact, no American hero's legacy can survive the 1619 Project's acid bath of lies. Even Abraham Lincoln, the great emancipator, is said to be intolerable, as is Frederick Douglass's celebration of America in his famous 4th of July speech. The aim of the 1619 Project is nothing less than to teach young Americans to hate their own country. This, again, from the back flap of Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America. If you don't have a copy of this book, it's available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You can get your copy by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also get a copy on the web at equip.org. And with that, I am absolutely delighted to have Dr. Mary Graybar back on the Hank Unplugged podcast. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me again.
You are welcome anytime. And as I told you before we went on air, your writing is exquisite. And I know that you humbly credit your editors, but you are an incredible writer, very clear writer. But this is an incredibly courageous project. To take on the 1619 Project is no small thing, and I'm sure you have suffered greatly for doing so. I don't know if you want to start out by letting us know how this book has been received.
Well, it's been well received, you know, by people who, like you. You know, it's been mostly ignored by the left, by the very people who should, you know, at least crack open and take a look at its pages and see what I have to say. Maybe they have and they just refuse to engage. But so far, no one has said there's, you know, the critics have not said there's anything factually wrong in it. You know, so a lot of the trolls are out there on Amazon giving it one star. So if you've read it and if you feel inclined, give it 5 stars or 4 stars or whatever you feel like, you know, in order to balance the trolls. You can tell they haven't even opened it. But this is, I mean, this is something that I saw when I was still teaching. It's an attempt to just demonize and to cancel people who don't go along with the political agenda. And, you know, I've been canceled from teaching jobs. Fortunately, I landed here at the Alexander Hamilton Institute for the Study of Western Civilization, where I think I'm getting my revenge by writing these books. I was silenced during my teaching career. You know, I would write these op-eds and try. And this was like 20 years ago. I'm trying, you know, the stuff, critical race theory, the gender fluidity, all that stuff is very old hat to me. I was trying to write about that. Or I was writing about that and like trying to shake people up and say, hey, look, this is what's going on at teachers' conferences. This is what's going on at conferences for people who teach literature, who teach anything else, you know, these academic conferences. And it's like, no, you're crazy. That can't be true. And here we have it. So it's, you know, I'm working on my third book now about a truth teller. He was a Black conservative, and that should be coming out early next year. And he faced the same thing. You know, I'm working on a chapter right now where I talk about how he was canceled in 1936. So there's been this long line of people who are ideologues or left-wing ideologues. They just don't want to face the truth. They don't want to face facts. They refuse to be corrected. So, and I'm always willing to be corrected. I've had colleagues look at my work, gotten input from them. And so I pride myself on, you know, being open to that criticism, accepting the corrections if they're valid, and continuing on.
Yeah, this is not about a we they siege mentality. I mean, this is about civilization hanging in the balance. This is about preserving the truth about America as a bright shining light on a hill, not a perfect civilization. No civilization is. But certainly a civilization that ought to be commended for doing the very thing that the 1619 Project condemns them for. And we'll get into the specifics of what I just said in just a moment. But if you will permit me, Mary, to do something in light of what you just said, I was thinking I might bring this up, I might not bring this up, but given what you just said, there's another scholar. And by the way, this is very interesting. Just today, I read an article by a scholar named Tom McAmin, and it happens to be on the World Socialist website, no less. The title is American Historical Association President Issues Groveling Apology After Racialist Social Media Attack. And the story, as told by this scholar named Tom, is that we have the president of the American Historical Association, a man by the name of Professor James Sweet. He's from the University of Wisconsin. He makes an innocuous criticism of the 1619 Project and ends up having to issue a groveling apology. So what did he do? He criticized the dominance of presentism in historical writing, which is, of course, the tendency to view history through the prism of contemporary social justice issues. And then he suggested that the 1619 Project's implication that slavery was a uniquely American original sin wasn't quite right. But then in face of social media criticism, like, as a white man, he has no right to make critical commentary on Black or African history. In light of that kind of criticism, Professor Sweet crumpled, tweeting out an apology. I take full responsibility. I am deeply sorry. I sincerely regret. I hope to redeem myself. Hopefully we're not going to get anything like that from you.
No, I mean, you know, once you start down that path, you know, the next thing you know, there's going to be the firing squads. You know, we're seeing this. I mean, you know, we don't actually have gulags yet, but they've been doing this for years. They've been denying people who are critics, may have legitimate criticisms, of they deny them of their livelihoods. We're seeing it in healthcare now, and it's getting to be really bad. And it's people like James Sweet, you know, who refuses to acknowledge any kind of an agreement with someone who is not of his political persuasion, who is doing the damage, who is setting us down this road. It's just like, you know, under Stalin, his most devoted followers, you know, after they executed people, then they were the ones who were executed. I mean, this is the way it's going now.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with scholar Mary Graybar. The 1619 Project is not just bad history, it is a danger to our national life, replacing the idea, goal, and reality of American unity with race-based obsessions that we've seen play out in violence, riots, and the destruction of American monuments, even the wholesale rewriting of America's history and cultural past. In her new book, Debunking the 1619 Project, Dr. Mary Graybar shows just how full of flat-out lies, distortions, and noxious propaganda the 1619 Project really is. It is essential reading for every concerned parent, citizen, school board member, and policymaker. To receive your copy of Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon?
And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. Here again are Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. Mary Graybar, as they continue their conversation.
Under Stalin, his most devoted followers, after they executed people, then they were the ones who were executed. I mean, this is the way it's going now. So, you know, people like James Sweet, who virtue signal and no doubt would have fired people like me in the past, would, if he, you know, I'm sure he sat on hiring committees, would not hire someone like me or, you know, people who are like me. Now he's getting it. And so, you know, you go down this path and it really does end in a very, very dark place. And I, you know, a lot of people feel sorry for him. I don't feel sorry for him. He's doing this to himself. He is trying to save his own skin. He's a coward, but he's not going to lose his livelihood. You know, I lost, you know, these adjunct teaching positions where I was just barely clinging on financially. But, you know, this is what's happening. You've got the mob out there. You've got people who are very ignorant. They're the ones actually teaching, and they're the ones who are doing the canceling. And a prime example is the 1619 Project, the creator, who is one of the most ignorant, and I mean that in terms of not having knowledge about her subject, as well as very bitter and willing to twist around things, you know, facts because of her bitterness.
So let's talk about the 1619 Project. What's the essence of 1619 as opposed to 1776?
Well, the word slavocracy is used. So this nation is presented as being a slavocracy. It falsely presents our founding not as being in 1776, but the arrival of the first Africans in Virginia in 1619. And from that moment on, Black people were either enslaved or were, you know, exploited for their labor. They are the ones who built up the wealth of this country. No credit is given to any white people. They finally showed evil white people the path out of their wickedness, their sin. You know, it's Blacks are without sin, the way it's presented. And so the founding needs to be understood as that moment, and we don't know exactly when that moment was. It was sometime in the latter part of August of 1619 when those first Africans arrived, because our country is built on the backs of the enslaved. Everything that is good about this country comes from them. Everything that is bad comes from the white people who were all, to some extent, exploiters. So that's the basic thesis. And as the creator, Nicole Hannah-Jones, had it on her Twitter homepage for at least a year, it's intended to eliminate 1776. She had it crossed out and above it was 1619. So that we should think of the founding of this country, which is really a slavocracy, is happening in 1619. All those principles that were expressed in the Declaration of Independence have no meaning. They just mark the hypocrisy of the founders who, you know, are presented as all being slave owners or profiting from slavery. And so everything is turned upside down in terms of what this nation is.
How can I trust you as opposed to Nicole Hannah-Jones? I mean, both historians, or maybe she's just a journalist, I don't know. But how do I know that what you're saying in this book is true and that what she's saying in the 1619 Project is false? I mean, is there a way of being able to vet a true historian as opposed to someone who's making it up, who essentially has a narrative and that narrative causes everything to be conformed to that particular vein of thinking?
Well, I mean, you know, we have a whole body of knowledge. You know, I'm not Mary Graybar and ideas are not springing from my head. I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. I'm looking to the great historians of the past. I've been fortunate enough here at the Alexander Hamilton Institute to get input from Bob Paquette, who's the president. He was a student of Eugene Genovese. There's a whole library here. I have colleagues. And so, you know, what I maintain is what's happened to scholarship is that there is no longer this sense of humility. There's no longer this intellectual curiosity to really find out what happened. And the 1619 Project, even if you just look at the style of writing, you can see that it's a polemic. It paints people as groups. And, you know, people are presented not as individuals who face challenges during their lives, who were born into certain circumstances, who had weaknesses and strengths. They are presented in a Marxist fashion as embodying the characteristics of the group that they happen to have been born into, their biological characteristics and their class characteristics. And so anytime you have a presentation of people that way, that's painted with broad brush strokes, and there's a paragraph that I quote from it where, you know, she writes, white people, you know, lynched, burned, beat, Black people, you know, so it's white versus Black. It's not, okay, this one individual did this, or this was the historical circumstance at the time where slavery and servitude were the norm. It's, you know, people of a certain group have these characteristics, and it's very Marxist. I mean, if you, you know, you had the kulaks and you had the proletariat. And so, you know, people were categorized that way. And so even if you don't understand slavery as a trans-historical international institution, and you don't know much about our founding, you can pretty much tell by reading, you know, the way the 1619 Project is written. It's not dispassionate. It's not even-handed. It's not fact-based. It's intended to rile up emotions. And it does so by purporting to present some historical evidence. But that is distorted as I show, as I do the research and go through these very, you know, well-known historians who have specialized in the subject areas. And Nicole Hannah-Jones has not. She is someone who is a journalist who has been writing about racial issues. And so she has been cast as someone who takes on this humongous project. I mean, it's so egotistical to say that you're going, you, Nicole Hannah-Jones, a journalist, is going to reframe all of American history. But, you know, just think about the hubris behind that.
Yeah, and I think it's also important, Dr. Graybar, to go back and point to the trail that you have left. I mean, I can look at your book and go back to primary sources. So I can see whether or not what you're saying actually comports with what the primary sources say. Primary sources, I'm talking about getting it direct from the horse's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You've mentioned Nicole Hannah-Jones a number of times. Give us a little bit of a profile of this journalist.
Well, Nicole Hannah-Jones is, I think, about 46 years old or so. She has a white mother and a Black father, and she grew up in Waterloo, Iowa. She has talked about her past. And so I'm not, you know, revealing anything that's not public knowledge, but she grew up in a not, I guess, nice neighborhood, in a mostly Black neighborhood, which was kind of run down. She was bused to a white school from second grade on, a bus ride that took an hour each way, which I think is not something that little kids should have to do. And she noted as she was, you know, getting closer and closer to her school in this white neighborhood, that houses were getting much nicer, things were cleaner, were kept up. And that sort of started her on her path of bitterness. She also reveals, you know, after this came out in an interview that I've pointed out, that her father was an alcoholic. And so he had some setbacks. I'm not doubting that he was discriminated against, but there are some other complications there. So she has this bitterness from growing up. And then I think when she was in 11th grade, she had this teacher in a Black Studies class that gave her a book by Lerone Bennett. And Lerone Bennett was a radical leftist. He wrote this book called Before the Mayflower, which sets out the thesis of the 1619 Project.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. But join us again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with scholar Mary Graybar. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of Debunking the 1619 Project, Exposing the Plan to Divide America by Mary Graybar. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website, equip.org. That's equip.org. Of course, you can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Life matters more. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.